In addition to value, we can talk about narrative as a vehicle for carrying ideas about the world to people within a culture. Humans make sense of the world through our stories, our narratives, and those narratives are pervasive. They're everywhere. It's important to note about narratives, about the narrative text and the cultural context, that they are mutually influencing. That is, the narrative influences the culture, and the culture influences the narrative. As Sillars and Grönbeck put it, stories function to reflect, define, or remake culture. Society spawns and later is affected by narrative. Stories are symbolic actions that draw upon and define social reality, and the story influences and is influenced by the culture. The nature of stories is they are linked to experience, and therefore, while fiction are not false in the sense that they carry with them what is seen as true meaning, even while the surface details are acknowledged to be untruths. In narratives, our raw experience is divided up, linked to values, and put into stories. The stories that are repeated are the ones that ring true, and when they are repeated enough, they become cultural myth. And I'd like to talk about a handful of cultural myths in the next couple of minutes. Every culture has its myths, according to Larson, and our myths can be thought of as parables driven by the power of the dramatic. One such myth is the myth of us versus them. This idea, for example, that we are the last best hope, but we have problems. Three different ways that problem is expressed as the one, rotten apples, that there is rot or corruption at the top, and we need to throw those rascals out. A second idea is the mob at the gates, that things are great here, but people are trying to get in and change and ruin our way of life. A third us versus them manifestation is the presence of conspiracy, that some powerful group is responsible for otherwise unexplainable facts about our life. A second big American myth is the coming of the Messiah, someone who will save us. Now, don't take Messiah in too literal a way. It's a metaphor for the idea that when we see our problems as greatest, someone will save us from them. We see this kind of rhetoric reiterated in almost every election cycle. The world is a mess, and we need to elect blank to get us out of it. This is the idea of the coming of a Messiah. A third myth is the wisdom of the rustic, the idea that simple, common sense, humble folk with meager beginnings can save us from our biggest problems. Sometimes this myth can contribute to an anti-intellectualism. At other times, it can be inspiring. Think about the Ewoks from the Star Wars movies, who with their simple common sense solutions to problems, managed to defeat the heavily armored and weaponed imperial enemy. Sometimes the wisdom of the rustic, when people don't have those true meager beginnings, they can substitute hardship as a way of expressing that. And so people sometimes talk about their military service or a great physical challenge that they recovered from as a way of substituting hardship for the common sense kind of humble beginning. A fourth myth is the value of challenge, seen as a rite of passage, and so things like college, boot camp, Outward Bound, and primaries for politicians are seen as ways of challenging them. Nothing worth having is easy is an expression of this idea. The notion of an eternal return or renewal, finally, is the idea of a golden age, a sacred time, the good old days. And so expressions like happy days are here again, or references to getting back to the garden, reiterate this idea that history repeats, what goes around comes around, what you sow, so shall you reap, and someday it'll all get back to the way that it should be. There are, of course, other myths like the man's man's and the woman's woman. Political myths like the benevolent community, but for our purposes, those are the major American myths.